Well,
right.
And that's why you see a lot of these people come up from different places. And some of these people like Tommy End and some of these people that people don't really even know, they change their character so much to have them not be affiliated with their indie character that they don't even call them by the same name or they – You know, I mean, I was surprised they let Samoa Joe go by that, you know, didn't try to change him.
I got one for you. I got two prime examples of that. Tyler Black, John Moxley. Tyler Black was in the Age of the Fall in Ring of Honor and was the dirtiest, dastardly heel ever.
Right.
He comes to WWE. They make him a cop. He's Seth Rollins and in the Shield. I mean, think about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's right.
You got John Moxley in Combat Zone Wrestling doing thumbtack, glass pane, ladder with the Necro Butcher, and they bring him in and make him a cop. And make him part of the Shield. I mean, and think about that. These guys built their career on being crazy, over-the-top wrestlers. But look at what happened when they went into the Fed. There isn't one strand of Tyler Black left in Seth Rollins. There's maybe 10% of John Moxley left in Dean Ambrose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you go back and watch some of those CZW matches with him. Oh, my gosh. Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
But like you said, that type of stuff is completely gone. You'll never see that again, will you? The brutal stuff.
Well, you will on the independent circuit, but you're not going to see a company that builds their reputation on it. And I mean, here's what it all boils down to. This is what I learned. This is what I was brought up on. There's two things to say. That is, we are storytellers. Okay. And what we're doing is Shakespeare for the masses. So if people are big, like think about the late 70s. Every movie was a space flick because of Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wrestling kind of follows the same thing. When the masses want ultra-violent matches, you're going to see an attitude era again, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they want gimmicks, you'll see gimmicks again. Because ultimately, we're dictating what WWE is presenting. Because if they didn't like it, they're a publicly traded company. Their stock goes down, and they're going to say, how do we fix it? See what I mean?
Yeah.
Complain as you may, 75,000 people went to WrestleMania, and there was over a million people just there for the experience. Think about that.
Wow.
So the no face, you know, we can sit here on this podcast and we can say things like, where's the face shield dynamic? Where's this or that? Well, obviously, someone knows what they're doing, and the masses that are paying the ticket don't really care for it right now. And until people like us are in the majority, they're not going to change. And why should they?
Yeah. Well, you're right. Because go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say today, I finally got to actually finish watching WrestleMania today, and I watched the crowd reaction after The Undertaker. And, you know, brought a tear to my eye, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But I started thinking about all the social media things that have happened, and people just complaining, and then, you know, the vitriol, the people saying they're going to drop the WWE. But look at all the publicity that Titan Sports has gotten from this. They played us like a flute. You know, I'm a mark. I don't say anything else. I am a mark for professional wrestling. And they played us like a flute for that. You know, and I think they did exactly what they wanted to do, and I think they did it masterfully. So,
they did. And again, I mean, it's storytelling. It's an event. And that's why and think about this. Do you recall the beginning of Ring of Honor, I'm going to say 2005 to 2012, where everybody was doing triple axel moonsaults off the top rope in every match, and everything Well, why didn't that style sustain itself? As a complete company, the style has its place, just like hardcore has its place. But I mean, as a complete company, why didn't that style last?
Did nobody care? Did nobody want to see it?
No story.
Well, see, that's the Will Ospreay and Prince Puma match that last summer. That was a lot of criticism over that, because it was a great match. I mean, the talent, the acrobats, the things like that were in that match were just phenomenal. I've gone back and I've watched that match probably four times. And I love watching the match, but you're right. There is absolutely no storytelling in that match. There is no low point. You know, when you go back to the days of the 80s when Hulk Hogan used to get the crap kicked out of him, and then he'd Hulk up and he'd win, and the crowd would go crazy because the good guy was going to win, you know. But
it always comes down – it comes down to this. If you don't have shine, heat, comeback, finish, and you don't tell a story, you screwed something up. I've been to so many seminars of Bubba Ray. I've been to so many things. And the first thing that you should ask yourself when you go into a match is not what move am I going to make. It's what story am I trying to tell?
Huh. Wow.
If you can't answer that with your opponent, then you shouldn't even go to the curtains. Because ultimately, why should I have sympathy for you when you have not done anything to get my sympathy? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about this match, okay? Heel comes out, sticks out his hand for a handshake. What does every pro wrestling fan think? Don't do it.
He's going to grab. Don't do it. Yep.
Don't do it. Okay, so now he shakes his hand, and the heel doesn't do anything. The fans are like, huh. Automatically, you have tension there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrestle. The face gets his shine. The heel cuts him off, powders out of the ring, shakes his head. Everybody cheers. Right? And mm-hmm. now you're like, this guy's cool, and that guy's an idiot, right?
Mm-hmm.
The heel gets in the ring, says, oh, man, that was a good headlock, a good combination. I got to appreciate good wrestling. Looks to the crowd, sticks his hand out. Everybody now is going like, oh, no, he's definitely going to kick you in the groin now or something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The table's now been set. So now, here's the brilliance of something like this. You've just given people expectations of, oh my gosh, is he gonna do it or not? He didn't do it before. Oh my gosh. And now you've stated the story is now the handshake, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now imagine you progress, the face shakes his hand, of course the heel kicks him in the groin or something, and starts beating the crap out of him, right?
Yeah.
So as he's beating him up, he's chasing him around saying, shake my hand. Everybody's going to be, boo, what a dick, right? and so now he's beaten the face to the point where you think, there's no way this guy is going to win. He sticks his hand out and says, shake my hand, you pussy, or whatever. And the face reaches up, and he reaches up, and he grabs the heel's hand, and the heel laughs. And the arm drags him down and starts his comeback. What do you think that crowd's going to do?
Oh, go nuts.
Now, listen, have I told you one wrestling move? Well, there's two wrestling moves I told you about. The reason why matches like that work is because it tells a story. The story is a handshake.
Yeah.
So my point being is, if you can't build that, I mean, did I really even talk about what moves the two wrestlers were doing?
No, you just talked about the high and the low.
That's what I'm saying. The moves are inconsequential, or they're consequential, but they're not the main event. They're not they're the sizzle. The steak is the story. What I just told you with a handshake match, that's a story that happens. That's what that right there is a match that you have to put together because it tells a story. Now, you can do moonsaults and you can do all that stuff as long as you have that handshake telling the story. That is what, that is, that, my whole point in this is that without the story, wrestling is nothing. And right now the Fed is telling different stories because they had to change. And that's what they're doing.
Interesting. Wow.
So, MK, once again, why don't you tell us the promotion that you're working with in Albuquerque again?
Yeah, right now, like I said, I work for a bunch of different promotions. I'll kind of go through the list because I work in Pacific Coast Wrestling right now, and I represent the Almighty Sheik and Jacob Fatu, and we are in a faction called War Beast, and Kevin Sullivan's the leader. I'm kind of his right-hand man, his legal counsel, and you've got the Almighty Sheik and Jacob Fatu, who is the Tonga Kid's son. And we have a big show, and you know that show, of course, has Pentagon Jr. in it. That's like the it's like the Ring of Honor promotion, because you've got Pentagon Jr., Rey Fénix, you know, MVP, RVD is our champion. You've got Sheik, Sullivan, myself, all these guys there. That's what I work for in Los Angeles. That our next show is coming up on June 2nd, it's gonna be a huge show. Then Destiny Wrestling Organization. I'm the director of competition. I took that character kind of to Albuquerque, and we have a good little promotion there. We've got Tommy Dreamer coming in on May 13th. Then I work for Main Event, do the same kind of heel gimmick there. I work with Wardell Walker. I don't know if you remember him from Ring of Honor and TNA. And we have our next show April 22nd in Texas. And then I am also the leader of The Cult in Primos and Hardcore, which is literally a cult faction called The Cult. And we have, everybody has hashtags. I am hashtag, I am the promoter. You have, I am the provider. You have, I am the hooker. And we're basically taking that promotion over with the good old school faction with the House Divided storyline.
Wow.
And pretty much people that come in there, you know, you've got Rob Risen. Who recently just joined our cult. You've got a lot of guys that come through there, and those are the promotions I work for, as well as others, but those are just kind of one-offs when people need me. But those are my main storyline promotions.
Wow.
That's awesome, man. That's incredible.
I just want to say that I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on with us and
it's my pleasure.
We've been a fan of yours ever since we saw you at UCW a couple years ago, and I've been wanting to get you back on the show, and it was just a perfect opportunity with WrestleMania and things like that's happened this week, and it's a big time right now for professional wrestling, and you're neck deep to a tall Indian in pro wrestling right now.
Oh, tell me about it. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because, let me put it this way, I love it because everybody's making money, and that's what it's all about. And the other thing is that when you have these type of things, you don't have to look for pro wrestling, and we're creating new fans.
Oh, wow. So I want to know, overall, real quick, were you glad you went to WrestleMania? Was it something that you've been wanting to do? Did you cross it off your bucket list? What did it surpass your expectations? Were you bummed out in some of the matches, or were you just there for mostly the experience? Or let's kind of rewind and let's talk about that just super quick.
It's something that every wrestling fan has to do. It is a definite. It's like if you're a rock and roll fan and you don't see Kiss, or you don't see, you know, someone like that, it's like you feel cheated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're a wrestling fan, you got to go to WrestleMania. It's like a pilgrimage to Mecca. I was not disappointed in the least. My only thing, here's my one regret. I should have, and here's my advice to people. If you are going to pay the money to go to WrestleMania, don't chintz on the tickets, okay? Because I bought very good tickets, and I still feel that I would have got more of the emotion if I sat closer or if I was a little more involved, because I was a little removed, because I was far enough away. I can see what was going on in the ring, but I had to watch the Titantron to see the emotion and the faces and that stuff. And so I felt a little separated. Had I been on the floor seats for maybe $100 more, I know my experience would have been better.
Wow. Wow.
But everything, and like I said, that's the other thing. When you go to WrestleMania, please don't just go to the WWE Access and go, hey, I've done the WrestleMania experience. Look up all the indie promotions that are going on. I mean, they literally, at some of these places, they had Progress, Pro Wrestling from London, England, start at like noon. Then they had Evolve start at 4. They had Chikara start at 8:30. And then they had Kaiju starting at midnight.
Wow.
So there were people there. I saw them that literally went to every one of those shows.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is, take in the whole experience. Find out what style you want. Go online. Find what indie wrestlers you like. I almost can bet you could have seen any indie wrestler in the world there. What blew me away was these people who found me at the bar had never seen me perform except for on Friday night. They literally just knew me from the YouTube stuff, and then they'd never seen me perform live until Friday night.
Wow. Well, I gotta say, live when you got smacked in the face with your heel knuckle down in Salt Lake. Oh man,
yeah, it's better than being set on fire. That's what happened to me a couple of years ago in Albuquerque. But yeah, that I'd rather be, if I'm going to have to get something bad and something horrible happen to me, I'll take heel knucks to the forehead than getting set on fire.
I bet you would.
Dave, is there anything else you want to talk to MK real quick about?
Yeah, just one thing I thought about today when I was watching Roman Reigns and The Undertaker, and I think I fast-forwarded. Did they make any kind of announcement that Jim Ross was going to call that match? Did they acknowledge that he was going to be there?
They did, and I don't like before the big announcement or –
Yeah, when they were getting ready for the match and they brought Jim Ross out to do the commentating on the match for TV or for the network. I probably missed that part. I just wanted to see what the crowd reaction was.
It was kind of a worst-kept secret in pro wrestling at the time. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It was kind of the worst-kept secret in pro wrestling because when they announced it, everybody went crazy, but you could kind of tell everybody's like, yeah, I kind of knew that was going to happen because pretty much everybody knew, why is he here? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So everybody kind of knew that. And then I also believe that he may have even said in one of the podcasts or something that he felt bad that his wife had passed on because she wanted to see him do one more WrestleMania. But the crowd went nuts. I mean, when you heard his music, the Oklahoma music, I mean, just like anything, everybody went crazy. Because fundamentally, think about this, pro wrestling fans are nostalgic as heck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was just so excited for him to come out. When he came out, it was, for me, that meant more than seeing The Undertaker retire.
Wow.
I could understand that, yeah.
Just on another thing, let me just tell you guys the one thing, so that I cannot tell you how exciting it was to see the Hardys come out, and I'll tell you why. I went to the Hardys, the Broken Party, tailgate party, and it was at a bar, okay, in downtown Orlando, okay, a frickin' bar, and the Hardys were there hanging out with their fans before WrestleMania.
Hmm.
That's living together.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember Matt did, I think it was Ric Flair's podcast, and he did it in gimmick the whole time as the Broken Matt Hardy. I wasn't a fan of some of that stuff that they did with TNA. I thought some of it was really, just really poor. But overall, I thought the gimmick was pretty good. And I appreciate that they were living the gimmick, living with their fans. That's pretty cool.
But how weird is that? I mean, literally when people, like when we were going to, me and some of my buddies that I met down there, were going to there, they were saying, well, do you think the Hardys are going to come? And I literally turned to them like, come on, you idiots. I'm like, no, they were just the bar. I mean, they're literally at a bar right now taking fans with pictures. They're not going to be a WrestleMania. And everybody's like, oh, yeah. And so, I mean, it totally swerved me. That to me, again, if there was three things I took away from this WrestleMania, you know, in the confines of Bell to Bell, was the Hardys coming out. And I'm like, okay, they brought the Hardys out. Great. That's neat. But they're never going to let them get the title. And then when they got the title, I mean, I was like, oh, my gosh. Number two, Jim Ross. Number three was Undertaker.
Yeah.
Undertaker retiring. But I was really, you know what, I was disappointed.
Tell us.
I didn't get to see Chad Too Bad face Tex Ferguson. They should have had a Southpaw championship, Southpaw regional wrestling match in the pre-show.
Yeah, you really, I see on your social media, you really liked that Southpaw. You thought that was pretty creative.
Dude, I grew up on that stuff. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but that was literally Saturday morning wrestling. And every state had their Fed that had a half an hour or an hour before either the AWA came on or the NWA show or the WWE show came on. And it was so much like that. I mean, look at the old, just do this. Go look at the old WCCW stuff on the network and tell me that isn't exactly what Southpaw Regional Wrestling is.
Wow. I got to check it out because I honestly haven't seen it. I've seen it advertised. I've seen you talk about it, but I haven't watched it yet. So I will go watch it.
Here's what you got to do. Let me tell you what you got to do.
Okay.
Suffer through, go on the network, look at some of the old world-class championship wrestling shows. You know, they're on there. They're like 45 minutes long or something like that. Suffer through a couple of those, okay? I mean, it's dinosaur school wrestling, okay? I appreciate it for what it is, but I can't say I like it, okay? But watch it, and then watch Southpaw Championship Wrestling, and you'll be in stitches.
Okay. So, Dave, is there anything else you want to add? I just have one more question for him, for MK.
Go for it, Zane. I think I just, before you ask your question, I just want to thank you so much. As a fan, I love hearing that insight, how things are put together. Like I said, I'm a mark, but I am a mark that enjoys the inside part of it and the behind-the-scenes stuff so much. And I appreciate it. I'll talk to us about it.
Hey, we are all marks, otherwise we wouldn't be in this business.
That's right.
Well, I have one comment and one question, and then we're getting to where we need to let you go because you're a busy guy. So my comment is we've talked a lot. We'd like to get you back on the show sometime because a lot of people forget, I think the WWE fans especially, they forget the amount – and we've talked several times on the podcast of what we want to do. We'd like to do a show sometime and talk about what goes into a promotion. What kind of time does it take? What kind of money does it take? But that's a show for another day. So we want to get you back on sometime and have another interview with you talking about all these promotions that you're involved with and what happens backstage to put something like this together.
I'd be happy to talk about that because that's something that isn't talked about enough, quite frankly. And you know, once again, you know, I said being financially involved in several different promotions and being the management of several promotions, it's something that I really enjoy talking about. And I'd love to. Anytime you tell me when, and I'll
okay.
talk.
I think we're going to get you on the schedule, and we got to do another interview with you about that. And my question is, this could be a whole entire podcast, and I'm going to throw it at you. But
go ahead.
So, I posted something on my Facebook page about WrestleMania, and I say, and this is my own opinion. Whatever opinions are like assholes, everybody's got one. I said, it's time for, I posted a WrestleMania picture. I said, it's time for the greatest sporting event of the year. And I got a little, teeny tiny bit of backlash from another guy I follow on Facebook. He's a big, big wrestling fan, but he's like, oh, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan, and I've been watching it since I was three. I love wrestling. He says, but I don't consider it to be a sport. It's sports entertainment. So my question for you is wrestling a sport or is it entertainment?
Well, let me ask you this. Is NASCAR a sport?
Is horse racing a sport?
What defines a sport? I mean, if horse racing is a sport, yes, it is for the horse. It's all in what you define as. To me, I think a sport is a sport, just like gymnastics, pole vaulting, shot put. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, from that standpoint, it is a sport. And if you don't think that all sports are sports entertainment, then you haven't seen the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to watch the Super Bowl. You're going to watch, you know, the World Series and how they set that up and call that's not sports entertainment. Poppycock. So in my opinion, and I may catch heat for this, but I'm just going to say it. My opinion is pro wrestling is a sport and is more of a sport than, say, and I would say, you know, NASCAR or horse racing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Thank you. I love it because I that's exactly how I feel. Well, gosh.
I agree, man.
I mean, once again, I'm not saying that they're not great events. I'm not saying these boomer jerks or they shouldn't call this or that. But like for this, if you really say you don't consider wrestling a sport, then you're going to really have to defend yourself because there's a lot of things out there like curling. Is that a sport?
Well, and like you mentioned NASCAR. See, I went to Vegas last year for the first time, and I love NASCAR and I follow NASCAR, but I'll tell you, it's like WrestleMania. I went for the experience. I went for the NASCAR experience.
Yeah.
We stayed at the track. We went to the events. We, you know, we lived and breathed and slept and ate NASCAR for a whole entire weekend, you know.
and that's cool. And let's just go this way. Here's my last thing I'll say on that. I know I'm taking a lot of your time, but let me say this. Okay, let's say it's not a sport. So what?
Yeah, I guess you got a point.
It doesn't take away from it. It doesn't take away. If that guy considered a sport, well, okay, that's great. Okay, so it's not a sport. Now what? What have you done? Nothing.
Yeah.
Yep.
You still got, I mean, amazing talent and amazing production values and amazing the things that go into a wrestling show. It's what intrigues me, honestly.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, like Rob Conway, I worked with him in Destiny. I worked with him a lot in different organizations. But he's the funniest guy because we were at a place in Lubbock, Texas, when he was world champion, NWA world champion, okay? And we walked in and someone said something about wrestling, and then he said, well, you know, I'm a pro wrestler. And they said, oh, you mean the fake shit? And he goes, yes. And he looked at him, and I couldn't believe it. And I was just like, Lord, what are you doing? He's like, dude, people like that, you're never going to convince anything. I've got past that point. So if you try and justify it by saying, yeah, but, they're going to win. But when you just say yes, okay, you're never going to convince them otherwise because they're just assholes.
And I'm not going to be watching Dancing with the Stars anytime soon, you know? I mean, so it's just different strokes for different folks, you know?
So when he said that to me, my whole attitude kind of changed. And so when people, like, say, you know, well, I don't think it's a sport, I used to be the guy that would be like, oh, yeah. But now I'm just like, okay, yeah. Okay, it's not a sport, whatever. So you must like, they're not, you know, like I said. So anyway, I would say wrestling is a sport, but I also would say it doesn't matter what they think. It's what the person watching thinks, and that's what's important.
Awesome. Well, Dave, why don't you close us out?
Well, MK, I want to thank you very much. What a great experience it has been for us to be able to spend some time with you on Turnbuckle Trash. I can't express enough thanks and also jealousy because I got to go to WrestleMania. So, once again, thank you very much.
You'll be there one day, too, and, I mean, It's like I said, it's an experience. It's something that everybody needs to do, brother.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!